Well, I'm one of those faith and healing preachers. And this is a word church. But what does that mean? To be a word church. Somebody said one time, we're word birds. Well, they messed us up, though, Sarah, because we used to be tapeworms, But now, I don't know, you can't be a CD worm. I mean, I don't know. But Gloria and I learned it off of tapes. So did Sarah and Clint. We got it off of tape to begin with. Praise God. Amen. But the word of the living God. We must always keep our minds and our hearts thoroughly fixed on the fact that this is a book of blood covenants. That's the reason it's a holy Bible, not just a Bible. The first one began in the blood of animals and then upgraded to the blood of a man named Abram, and that day his name was changed to Abraham. The H, I'm talking about covenant here. It is very important to realize. Mucho gusto, señor. ¿Cómo está? Ah. Yo predico la palabra de Dios, la palabra de fe, en español solamente en este año. Yo hablo en fe. Amén. Gloria a Dios. Aleluya. Covenant name change is extremely important. The basic fundamental of the need for a covenant to begin with is that the lesser is blessed by the greater. Now, this is the book of blessing. The first word ever heard by a human ear was be blessed. Well, and we know the history. Adam blew away what he had. So then God stepped in immediately to get it back. He had a plan. He always has a plan. He always has a plan. I learned many years ago, a long time, too long really, that to stop making my plans and ask God to bless them. Find out the plan, it's already blessed. Amen. Praise God. So you keep these things intact. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Actually, it's Abram to Abraham. The H placed in the middle of Abram's name is Hashem, the name of God. So they entered into a blood agreement, and God changed his name. In 1962, I married a beautiful young woman by the name of Gloria Jean Niece. Well, she's not Gloria Jean Niece anymore. She's Gloria Jean Copeland. Why? We entered into a marriage covenant. And her name was changed. So, that's where you go all the way back. And when covenants began, there was a name change. When Jesus met Peter, what was his name? Simon Bar-Jonah. Then one day, Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that day he called him Peter, the rock. And he was Peter for the rest of the time. This is huge. Now turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Oh, what a chapter. What a book. Let's begin reading. Well, there's so much there. Did you start, "Well, I'm reading"? No, that verse. Well, what about that verse there? No, what about? No, wait a minute. What about? Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read the 13th. No, the 12th verse. No, the 11th verse. No, the 10th verse. "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness." In whom we have boldness. Now, you may not think yourself to be all that bold, but you have it. You can be bolder than you think you can be. Everybody in this room is called to preach. "Well, no, Brother Colby." Yes, you are. You're called as a witness. And you should be preaching on the street. You should be preaching in the store. And amen. I'm telling you. And Jesus is coming soon. And the Lord called me up about it not too long ago. He said, "You're not talking about this enough." So I began to talk about it. I began to sing about it. And so I just started talking about it. Jesus is coming. Now my mother, God bless her, she'd say it. She said it all the time. She said, "Kenneth, Jesus is coming this year." I said, "Really? He's coming this year. He's coming this year." And the year would go by, and the next year she said, "He's coming this year." I said, "Mother, you said that last year." She said, "I know, but he's coming this year." She said it all the time. She was earnestly expecting to see him any day. That'll change your entire method of life. Because if you say it enough to yourself, you start saying it to other people. And we were in another city a few days ago and walked out by the desk. And so there were some women back there working the desk. And I could tell from this woman's dress that she was of another religion. And so I walked by there and I said, "Come on, let's go to church." She said, "I'll go to church with you." And another woman right there next to her, and I leaned over there and I said, "Jesus is coming." She said, "Oh yeah, he's coming any day." And another one said, "I sure do hope so, he's coming today." So that young woman heard about church, Jesus, and he's coming. Yes, amen, he's coming. He is coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can be bold because you have boldness. The boldness is in your spirit. Now bring it on up and be bold to act. See, that's one of the fundamentals of faith. You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. I'm bold. I'm bold as a lion. And I'm going to start saying this. I'm bold. I'm bold. Glory to God, I'm bold. I'm bolder than I've ever been in my life. And I'm going to begin to tell everybody. Just tell everybody. Amen. I've seen it happen over the years. Oh my. I could just start in now and just start telling you things that's happened over the last 50 plus years. What boldness has done. And it's just been absolutely amazing at the results of sweet, kind boldness. You just walk up to somebody. And I won't go into all that. But now come on back over here. "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father," say to the Father, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." You have been covenant named after the Father. You have been covenant named after the Almighty God. Now read on. It gets better. "That he, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints." The word "comprehend" there is more than just the word "understand." It's to take hold of something. I like to put it like this: working knowledge. How many of you in this room know how to fly an airplane? Not very many. How many of you have ever ridden an airliner? You have understanding. David has working knowledge. I have working knowledge. I don't have to go on the airlines because I know how to fly. It's just a matter of training. Can you see the difference? Something you understand that airplanes fly. I understand how they fly. That's the difference. And once comprehension, once working knowledge of faith, working knowledge of righteousness, working knowledge of this book, working knowledge of the name, working knowledge of his power, how faith works, what causes it to work, where does it come from, how did we get it, when did we get it? Praise God. So, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to have working knowledge with all saints. It's available to every born-again person. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of Christ, and to know, to have experienced, to have intimate knowledge of the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God, who is love. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Glory to God. Now you know why the boldness needed to be in there. Because the power doesn't operate unless you have boldness enough to put it into operation. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now then, let's go over to Matthew 4:4. Excuse me. 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. Now, I want to touch on that for a moment. This gives you an insight into just how sorry, no good the devil is. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil didn't say anything to him. Just water for 6 weeks. Now, any of you that have ever fasted, I've never been on a 40-day fast, but I've been on a couple of extended fasts. January 1983. I fasted then on a partial fast for that whole month. Your hunger leaves you in about 4 or 5 days, 6 days, something like that. On just water. You don't want to eat. Then after a while, food just... But then, when starvation sets in, I've never fasted that long. I have read of people that have, that is a hunger that nobody can explain. It isn't just hunger. It aches. It hurts. There's a lot of pain in it because the brain is the last thing to starve to death. And after 6 weeks of nothing but water, then your body goes into certain spasms and pains because it starts feeding on its own organs. And then the devil spoke up. Most people don't pay enough attention to this and understand Jesus' physical condition while all this was going on. He was afterward a hungered. And listen to what this rat said. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus had to pass the test that Adam and Eve failed. So food was the first thing. Listen to what he said. It is written. He He didn't say one way or the other where he was the Son of God or not. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, say word, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And now, let's turn over to the 12th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 12. And let's look at the 37th verse. This is Jesus speaking. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words. Words. Words are the most important things on earth. They were not originally just for communication. We can see how important words were at the Tower of Confusion, Tower of Babel. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, right at the very beginning. Oh my, he's going to preach the whole book. No, just the good part. In the beginning, God. Oh, don't you love it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. Right there, in the second verse in the Bible, God said. Light be, light was. And I figured it out one time. In 24 hours, once he said that, there was 16,074,764,800 miles of universe. First 24 hours. Because light, sunshine didn't come along until several days later. He said, light. But he said it. Can you see where words come in? Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Words, by the word of his power. So we must become extremely aware of the strength and the power of our own words. Words have a character of their own. Fear-filled words dominate faith. But faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. I give the Lord the praise and the honor for it. I thank Him for it. But I've tested negative for COVID 5 times. And I have another word for that. I'll never have it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I have a whole lot more understanding about that virus than I have in the past because I found out that it's a synthetic virus, and that's the reason it doesn't adhere to seasons and so forth. But on the other hand, it's a very weak virus. It's been, in my opinion, mishandled. And if you wait too long to treat the thing, it'll kill you. If you don't know what to do about it. And I quote my beautiful wife, Gloria, if you do what's right in the natural and you do what's right in the supernatural, you can live in divine health. Now, I have been vaccinated. In the curse of the law, 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 22nd verse says that fever and inflammation is under the curse. But, yee-haw, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come all the rest of us. Amen. We might receive what the Spirit promised through faith. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. So, thank you, Lord. Now, anytime that we begin to talk about faith, let's go over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You know who David Barton is? Remember David? We were doing television together today, one day. And before they turned the camera on, I had my Bible open right here. And he said, where do you get a white highlighter? I said, what? He looked over there at my Bible. And I keep thinking, maybe I need to get a new one, but no, I ain't have to do all that over again. I've worn out a lot of them over the years. Thank you, Lord. What is faith? Now, when we realize, understand now, we've already read it. We have already read it, that God spoke and created the heavens and the earth. So, in the King James, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We're not made of something that is visible. Well, of course not. It was faith. It's an invisible force with a visible result. So, I'm going to read that to you. From the Classic Amplified. Now faith, well, when is it now? Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, that, listen to this, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Isn't that good? Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the physical senses. That's the reason. Faith is of the inner man, not the mind, and not the flesh. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. By faith, now listen, we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, listen, put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Words. Words. The primary purpose of spoken words is a power release. A power release. Praise God. Yes, amen. Now then, words. That makes God's words, every word, Jesus said, it is written. We have what is written. We have the words of God, words of this covenant on paper. For so that we can read it, believe it. We can see this. This is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. And I, by faith, I have whatever it says I have. I can do whatever it says I can do. Yes, sir. Yes, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And now, do you understand Genesis in right there at the first? Hang on. Now, how many of you know that that the Bible says 70 or 80 by strength? God didn't say that.
Our brother Copeland, no, he did. No, he didn't.
No, Moses said that. And he was crying and lamenting over the fact that they were dying in that wilderness. And lamenting over the fact that God had said, no, nope. No, I don't care what you say to me, no. I've heard too much. They've mumbled and grumbled in my ear, and I heard it. And they kept saying, we're going to die in this desert. We're going to die in the desert. We are going to die in this desert. We are going to die in this desert. We are going to die in this desert. He brought us out here to kill us. Well, he didn't have to bring you out there at all. He just let you alone. The Egyptians had killed you. The last time they praised God was after that Red Sea incident. It was only an 11-day walk. 11 days to get to where they were going. Now, Moses didn't plan this, but when he wound up on the backside of the desert, then he spent how many years? 40 years out there. He knew the way. He knew that whole route. He knew that whole desert. He knew that whole wilderness like the back of his hand. I mean, he came out there as a young man and stayed out there for 40 years. He was at home in that desert, brother. He knew where he was all the time. He could have led them right straight across there for 11 days and they'd have been there. But their words kept them out. And God said, no, no. Everybody here over 20 years old is not getting out of here alive. Now this 20-year-olds, if you check it out, 20 years old was military age. That's the reason we know that David was less than 20 when he faced Goliath. Because his brothers were in the service. He was not. That's the reason they put him down so hard. God said, no. These 20-year-olds were born here. Now, I won't take time to turn to all of this, but now when you check, when Joshua took over and he began to meditate. Now, the last time he was over there, there was some big folks over there. When he and Caleb were there, I mean, there was some... Anyway, he met a woman of ill repute. Her name was Rahab the harlot. The Bible makes certain you realize she was a harlot. But now don't go too far with that because she wound up being Jesus' great-great-grandmother. So, but the Bible makes it very plain. She's right here in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Amen. Why? Because of an act of faith. She believed God. Now she said to the two spies, I'll just paraphrase it. Where have you guys been? Where have you been? We heard what happened at the Red Sea. We heard. Our hearts melted in us. Now see, God already knew that, but he's a faith God. He's a covenant-making God, and he's a faith God. He knew that. Had they just said, glory to God, he said, go and we can do this thing. That's what Caleb said. He said, we can do this. Give me that mountain. I'm well able to. Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that stayed. Now, think about this. Because they wouldn't do it by faith, they wandered in a circle for 40 years. 40 years' time. They lived and died and had children and so, and God took care of them. In spite of them. Why? Because he had a covenant with Abraham. Abraham carried his name. Abraham had Hashem in the middle of his name. Glory to God. So, had they carried out by faith what God said, I have given you this land, now go possess it. Yeah, thank you, Lord, that's good. God has given you that body. Do you need to possess it? Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. I weighed in this morning at 161 pounds. At one time in my life, not for very long, but one time in my life, I weighed 100 pounds more than that. I'm in the best physical condition I've ever been in my life, and the first week of December, I'll be 85 years old. But I'm in the best physical condition I've ever been in. But I had the Lord speak to me some time ago and told me to do that. He said, I want your spirit to be in the best spiritual condition it can be in. I want your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect in the best condition it can be in. And I want your body in the best physical condition it can possibly be. Amen. But I couldn't do it just, you know, sitting around at the table. There's some corresponding action that had to take place here. I had to do something with my treadmill other than hanging dirty clothes on it. Well, I'm telling you, I had to get a good treadmill and go to work. And praise God every time I get on it, instead of moaning and groaning. Now, I'm going to say something, too, that I learned from Brother Hagin. You say something long enough to get it down in your heart, it'll control your life. Now, I had said I was always overweight, even as a young boy. I was always overweight. And I just hated exercise. Now, I didn't want any part. And back when I was young, playing football and all that, I just worked harder at what I was doing. But then as I got older, it caught up with me. Well, the home that the Lord blessed Gloria and me with has a nice exercise room in it. And I had made that decision. The Lord said it, and I'm doing it. Glory to God. And the diet part of it was well underhand. And you don't go on a 2 or 3, 4 month diet and then come off. That doesn't work either. And so anyway, I went in there and I walked up. I mean, you know, I had my exercise clothes on and everything. I walked up. I have an A-frame like this and two ropes that come down like this. And really, I was to stand here like this and do this kind of thing. And I caught a hold of that. And I had a smile on my face when I caught a hold of it, and I said, God, I hate this. Now, that had been in my flesh all those years. And I shouted, no, it came out of me before I could stop. I said, no, Lord, I do not hate this. I love this. So I started saying it. I love to work out. I love to exercise. I love it, and I do. I really do enjoy it. And Gloria said, I never thought I'd ever hear you say that. I said, yes, you did. You know good and well I have to say it or it'll never happen. Words. See, those words jumped out of my mouth. They were down on the inside of me. I physically felt that left my body. Amen. And now, even early in the morning like that, I get up and exercise and get on the treadmill and so forth, but before I have breakfast. And there's mornings I drag out of that bed, but I'm, no, come on, man. We got this thing to do. Glory to God. Why? Because the Lord said so, that's why. Yes, but Brother Copeland, the scripture says exercise profiteth little. Well, I know that, Chubby, but now let me tell you. Oh, I did say that, didn't I? Well, I can talk. I wasn't chubby. I was fat butt. Possess that body. Starting with the scripture. I decided, well, I'm going to check out all the scriptures that have gluttony. And I did. And did you know every one of them included the drunkard? The drunkard and glutton? And I realized food is an addiction. I know I was addicted to it. So I had to go to the Word first. I had to get it in my heart and get it there to stay and work at it and work at it and believe it and listen to it and read it and read it and read it and read it and believe it and believe it. I've got kind of a goofy way of renewing my mind. But it works for me, you know. And once I found those scriptures, the first thing I did is wrote them down and carried them with me and read them and looked at them, read them, you know. I thought, okay. I realized I have a food addiction. Now, I never did have an alcohol addiction. I didn't like it in the first place. And I had an experience that really cured me from it back when I was really young. I won't take time to get into that. But boy, I had a food addiction. Bad. So, for a long time, until it got over to me, somebody would, you know, offer me something sweet, you know, and I'd say, no, thank you, I don't drink. And they'd say, what? I'd say, well, I don't eat that anymore. I'm a recovered foodaholic. It didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of time. Long time. But, and now I enjoy what I eat. I eat an exact amount of food. I enjoy it. Now, I don't fuss with my weight anymore. But I have to do the exercise. I have to work at that. Amen. So, understand the power of words. That's where it begins. Words. Now, Genesis 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not, the Lord said, who said? Is this the word of God? The Lord said, say that. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. The New Living says he is only flesh. Well, back there then, he was only flesh because he couldn't get born again. His spirit hadn't been renewed. Yet his days shall be 120 years. God said that. Moses said, let's go to the 90th Psalm. a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past as watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with the flood, they were there, and they sleep in the morning, and so forth and so on. In the morning it flourishes and grows up, and the evening is cut down, for we are consumed by thine anger. By thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they're 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And for some reason, I don't know, because I didn't, Gloria and I, neither one of us had any religion to unlearn. She accepted the Lord Jesus in October of 1962, and then I did in the first week of November of 1962. And I said, Gloria, did you notice that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the same story? She said, yes. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church, but didn't any of it stick? Now, my mama sent me Bibles all the time, brother. You know, bless her heart. She was... Let me back up here a second. She had prayed for me for all of those years. I mean, prayed for me. And she said this later, had she known to do that. She could have read 1 Peter chapter 5, cast the whole of your cares over on him, for he cares for you. But she hadn't come to that yet. She threw her Bible down on the kitchen table. She stood up and said, that's it. I prayed for him the last time. If he goes to hell, it's your fault. Gloria got saved 2 weeks later, and I got saved 3.
Amen.
she said, if I'd have just known, I could have done that a long time ago. But she didn't know to cast all of her cares over on him. She was worried about me. I was her only child. And I was the smartest child my parents had. I was the dumbest one, too. But my mother, bless her soul, she couldn't have any more children. But oh, she was a prayer giant. And I won't go into all that, but there's a reason why. She prayed, and finally she just threw her Bible down and said, if he goes to hell, it's your fault. And she finally let God just do what she'd been asking him to do for something like 15 years. Then she got out of the way and he just did it. Gloria had never heard the word born again in her life and still hadn't heard it. I had messed up my job, and so I was hunting another job, and she was praying. I didn't know it. And so she got out and found we had a 3-bedroom home on a lease purchase deal because of this plan we were going to get rich on. Other people did, but we were out the will of God. And so she was sitting there on a rented roll-away bed. The mattress on that thing was about that tall. And a Panasonic black and white TV about this big, and the picture had shrunk down to about that tall. And she was watching the Beverly Hillbillies 2 inches tall. And she got tired of that. And that Bible laying there on a coffee table that I had made in metal shop in high school. And it wasn't all that bad. It was still there. And that Bible was under there. She picked it up. Ken Precious, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. She said, well, I sure do need some things. She just said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. That's all she knew how to pray. Well, he did. I came home then 2 weeks later. I had a new job. And I had flown a charter trip for a man, an executive of Arkansas Louisiana Gas Company by the name of Weir. And flew him to Shreveport and back. And I got in that night, about 8 o'clock, a little before 8 o'clock. And Gloria had found a furnished apartment that never had been lived in. Furniture. That's a big thing, you know. I just praise God that my mother and dad sent Gloria and me a 25-pound sack of potatoes. And we were living on those potatoes. We had a big old drip-a-later coffee pot. Now, you kids don't have any idea what a drip-a-later is. But these things are pretty good. They make better coffee than most of them do now. Had a pot that actually boiled water. You could use it to boil water for tea. You could use it to boil water for other things. Well, and then this large thing about this big had a spout on it. You stuck it, forced it down in the top of that pot when it boiled. The boiling water would shoot up above and then fall down over that coffee. It made really good coffee. We didn't have any coffee. You have no money, you have no idea about how boiled potatoes, but you know, boiled potatoes with the skins, boiled potatoes without the skin. Just where it tastes pretty good. Now, Gloria and I set ourselves together. We said, we're it, glory to God, sink or swim, we're not going home. We don't call our parents and moan and groan and cry around on them. And we never have yet. Glory to God. I asked her to marry me on the first date. And just walked up on her dad's porch and I said, Gloria, will you marry me? She said, okay. And just walked in the house. She said, when she got inside, she said, what have I done? I don't even know this guy. Oh, well, I'll get out of it later. Next April, it'll be 60 years and she's not out of it yet. Oh, I'll tell you, other than Jesus, I love her more than anything that ever existed. Anyway. I need to get talking about her because I can talk about her all evening. And so, that situation I came home that night just a little before 8 o'clock. Beautiful, furnished apartment. Nobody had ever lived in this apartment before. All decorated in blues and grays, just beautiful. And I came in, and I just changed clothes in the bedroom, came in the kitchen, took my suit off, you know, and came in. And one shoe on, and the other one I had just sat down to put that other shoe on. And all of a sudden, that kitchen filled up with the glory of God. I've never had an experience like it since. And up until that time, my vocabulary was profanity. Glory said, I'm not going out in public with you anymore. I said, why? You filthy mouth. I said, well, what the hell did I do? That is a breakable habit. But I started out really young, more in rebellion than anything else. And that spirit took me over. Anyway, I sat down there, and all of a sudden, the room was just full of the glory. And I heard these words on the inside, Kenneth, if you don't get right with me, you're headed to a devil's hell, son. I said, I know it. I know it. What do I do? I heard my Sunday school teacher when I was in Southern Baptist Sunday school and she taught boys class, and you know, Baptist Sunday school, they do just like regular school. They just graduate you up by the year. And all of us boys said, no, if Mrs. Taggart doesn't go, I mean, we're not coming back. So Mrs. Taggart, we called her Old Lady Taggart. She called herself Old Lady Taggart. I don't know how old she was, but she was a widow woman, and she wore black all the time. And she wore a little black straw hat and little artificial flowers in it. I can just see her. She's about this tall. Old Lady Taggart. And I heard her voice on the inside of me. So in heaven, Mrs. Taggart won me to the Lord. Because her words were still in me. She said, boys, you have to ask Jesus in your heart. And I thought, that sounds just as dumb as it did the first time I heard it. But I don't know what else to do. Jesus, come into my heart. And I felt I could physically feel this square block in my mouth. And for several seconds, I couldn't close my mouth. It wouldn't work. But once I closed it, I never used profanity again from then until now. It was gone. It was gone. I didn't know I was a new creature. I didn't know anything. 3 months later, both of us received the Holy Spirit, and that's the first time Gloria ever heard anything about the new birth. Amen. So, the bottom line of all this, what was causing me so much trouble when I was a young boy? The words of my mouth. It got me into trouble. I didn't know that. I didn't know that the Bible says that a man that uses curses wears it. So a man that goes around saying, well, I'll be damned. Well, I'll be damned. I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. Well, I'll be damned. I'll be damned. I'll be damned. I'll be damned. That's dangerous. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that God's people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But I was being destroyed. But thank God for a praying mama that wouldn't quit, that just prayed. She began to be a praying girl when she was very young. She was born in Veneta, Oklahoma, in Cherokee Nation. my grandfather's blood, Cherokee. And so they named her Vanita, but they called her Vanetta. And so she's a very athletic young woman, and her appendix ruptured on the basketball court. Well, they rushed her to the hospital. Now, my mother was born in 1911, and this was when she was 16. Now, you know what medical science was like then. And so the doctor operated on her. And that scar was horrible. I mean, it was just, she just really didn't like anybody to see it because she was just cut open so badly. He got in there and realized that it had ruptured. So he didn't even sew her up. She had to die. He just used cadaver. But she was a praying woman back then, just as a little girl. Now, my dad's sister and my mother, the same age. And they prayed together. And they would go down. You folks up here don't know what a storm cellar is. But out there in Texas and Oklahoma, you better have one. Because tornado comes ripping through there. You need a hole to get in. And so... And they said, she said they'd go down the cellar and pray. And she and one of my mother's aunts, they were about the same age. And they'd all go down there and pray. I said, Aunt Barbara, why'd you go down the storm cellar? Oh, she said, Kenneth, we'd get to shouting and hollering back then. Said, they think we crazy, little old girls praying like that. Said, sometimes we'd get up on the windmill and just pray and shout just loud as we could because didn't anybody hear us for miles. They prayed all the time. I asked my dad one time, I said, Daddy, does she ever sleep? He said, nah, she don't even wrinkle the sheets. They told her to never, my grandfather, I mean, he liked to talk, very happy and just an exciting man to be around, and told a lot of jokes. Funny, he just funny as he could be. But boy, I'm going to tell you something. He's an Indian, and he gets where he didn't talk much. Gloria said, sometime I get more Indian I can become. But anyway, he just walked in there to the doctor, and he encouraged him with something like, she dies, you die. So he figured he better sew her up. But he didn't even try to put her back together. That's the reason they told her, you won't live over 10 years. My mother and dad got married then, just really soon after that, December of 1927. They said, you'll live 10 years and don't ever try to have children. She had that 10-year death sentence. Well, they had been married 9 years when I was born. And then I cried and wanted a brother so bad that she tried again and they stopped it. So I wound up being the only one. Thank God she was a praying woman. Because she prayed me out of hell, I don't know how many times. Words. Words in prayer. Words in praise, words in thanksgiving, words in glorifying God, blasphemous words, terrible words of fear, words of doubt, words of unbelief, words, all the time, words. Now, I've been in this long enough. In January, it'll be 55 years. So, I've seen a lot of things, and I was, of all men, blessed. Because in the very beginning, I finally obeyed God and went to Oral Roberts University in 1967. Enrolled in January. And immediately, I was hired as co-pilot on the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association's airplane. And so, you know, my lightning fast mind finally got a hold of the fact that Oral Roberts can get out of town. Anyway, I was in every meeting. I was in two of the last tent meetings that they had. And I saw this man use faith. I saw it. And I thought, and I said it, this man uses faith like a mechanic uses a tool. He uses it on purpose. My first experience in the invalid room. You know, large crowds make very, very sick people really nervous. And so they had a room set aside for people that just couldn't, the crowds were in. They couldn't manage the crowd. And so the very first time I was in there, he walked in there and I had been given instructions to outline his message. And I would have from 5 to 7 minutes, he would stop on the way there and pray for his partners while he was under that anointing. And then walk on in there and they told me to outline his message. And then you prepare the people to have hands laid on them when he comes in. And this is my first time there. Now, he was standing to my right, right here, and he walked in. Well, when he walked in, I stood back, and he caught me here by the shoulder of my coat and just pulled me over there to him. Now, I said all this to so you'd see this. I'm still talking about words, and I'm still talking about faith. He said, you're going to do the praying and you're going to do the laying on of hands. Well, I didn't realize it back then, but it was his desire to teach and train all of the students at ORU how to walk in the same faith and in the same power that he did. But I hadn't been there long enough then to know that. But I listened to what he said. Don't touch them until you're ready to release your faith. Now that night, he had preached on the point of contact. He said there, in his message, he said, there is a point of contact so that your faith must come to a place where it explodes. It comes to a place where there is a, where it builds up and it builds. Well, now we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And you can have faith for healing and not faith for prosperity and get healed and stay broke. And that's a puzzle to a lot of people. But, and so I had outlined all that. I had been studying on Brother Hagin's tapes the power and authority of the name of Jesus and how he received that power. He inherited it. It was conferred upon him. And he took it by conquest. He defeated hell. In hell himself. Well, I'd been studying that. And it was very strong in me. And faith in the name was really growing in me. It had come to a really strong place. So I thought, well, that's going to be my point of contact. So I'm going to, and I still do this, that not 100% of the time, unless the Lord, but if I don't hear something from the Lord, I do this. In the name of Jesus, because I have faith in that name. The apostles Peter and John laid hands on that man at the beautiful gate. And later he said, why look on us? was filled by our holiness. Or apostles? No. He said it was faith in the name that made this man strong. Faith in the name. The name can do anything Jesus did. Because his name's good. His name has been given among men. Glory to God. So, and he looked at me, and when he said I was going to do the laying on of hands, I could feel it. I could feel, I know my entire complexion is changing. I could just feel everything but just draining out. Because he laughed. He said, don't worry about it. If you make a mistake, I'll fix it. Okay, there was a woman on an old army cot, one of those old things that terribly hard to set them up. And it was an old one, so you could tell she wasn't a woman of means, and had a nurse with her. And she was up in years, but her little old stomach's all pooched out there. And she was the first one. Words. We walked over there to her, just a few steps. He was still standing right here beside me. He was following me. And I walked over there. I said, in the name of Jesus. And I touched her head and said, all of a sudden, I remember thinking the lion of the tribe of Judah has roared. Now this is something without the anointing, you can't imitate it. It just, I'm telling you, it just seemed like every hair on my body stood straight up. You foul, unclean spirit. Words now. In the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, take your hands off God's property now. And she kind of rolled up like that. And she spit that malignant tumor out of her mouth. And that thing was still laying there on the ground, still alive. And I looked at it and I thought, that thing looks just like a jellyfish. And it was laying, it was still moving. All of a sudden, she jumped up off that cot and she took off running. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. With a nurse right behind her thinking she's going to die any second. Words. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So now think about what happens when we turn our words into praise and worship and glorify Him. Again, I quote Brother Hagin, if you praise God long enough, the glory will fall. And when the glory falls, you have signs and wonders and miracles. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Words of love. God said in the 19th Psalm, make my words acceptable unto you. The 91st Psalm, we're right there. Look at the 91st Psalm. Oh, I love this. This is the soldier's psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The Most High. You cannot get any higher than this. He is the Most High God. He is the Most High God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now look at it. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, He is my fortress. I will say of the Lord, He is my God, and in Him will I trust. And surely He shall deliver thee. Nothing happened until you say it. Very, very good friend of mine. He was a bird colonel in Special Forces or a ranger. And lives in Wasilla, Alaska, pastors a church there. Very good friend. And they called him back up and said, he was pastoring there in Wasilla. And Keith Kerber. And they called him back up and they sent him into a situation that was really extremely high casualties, more than should have been in Southeast Asia. And so Gloria and I were there in Alaska, and so I laid hands on him and anointed him with oil. And so the two of us were there with he and his wife Nola. And I pointed this out to him. And I reminded him of what had happened in World War I when a company commander taught all of his men the 91st Psalm and ordered them to commit it to memory. And if he walked up and said, I want verse 1, you better have it ready. And he didn't lose a man. Nobody. That's over 300 men. And I relayed that to him and we talked about it. He said, I'm going to do that. I said, okay, as soon as you get back, you call me. I want to know what happened. So, and Gloria and I were sound asleep and the phone rang. Who on earth at this time of night? I picked it up. Brother Copeland. He said, it's me, Keith. He said, you told me to call you as soon as I got back. I said, well, yeah, brother. He said, I couldn't wait. I know it's in no time to be calling anybody, but I couldn't wait to tell you. He said, I could not wait to tell you. Now, he was there 2 years. He said, Brother Kenneth, I didn't lose a man. I didn't lose a man. He said, we had a few guys wounded, didn't amount to anything. But he said, I did like you said. He said, they had to memorize that song. And he said, I'd walk up to them and ask them a different verse. And he said, you had to know it. That's the reason it's known as the soldier's song. And so, but he said, you know, Kenneth, he said, I noticed now 2 weeks later, he said, they started having casualties again. Why? And I said, well, now look, Keith, I mean, you're a bird colonel. You were commander of that whole outfit. And that's a bunch of finest fighting men the United States has. And you ordered them to memorize that and to say it all the time. He said, yes, I did. I said, now when you left, there's some of them stayed with it, but others didn't. They changed their words. Yeah, he said, I can see it. But he said, I didn't lose anybody. Words. Words of faith, of power. Power Words release power. Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a disobedient mouth. Proverbs 6:2, you're snared with the words of your mouth. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction. Proverbs 18:20, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Micah 5:2, words dominate time. Well, Brother Copeland, what is that all about? Well, Micah prophesied in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, a baby will be born. And 715 years later, Jesus was born right there. Those words managed armies, different races of people. 715 years later, suddenly, somebody decided everybody needs to be taxed in their own hometown. Which was Bethlehem. It's 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. No wonder there was no room in the inn. Everybody got there before they did. This woman is about to have a baby, and she got to go 90 miles, brother. Don't tell me the woman is a weaker vessel. No, the Bible said, treat her as though she's the weaker vessel. Didn't say there's anything weak about her. Amen. But now, then 8 days later, she had to be in Jerusalem for Jesus to be circumcised. But it's only 5.5 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Still 5.5 miles in 8 days. But it worked. Why? Words. The prophets of old prophesied to give the people something to say. Amen. But now in the new covenant, the new, turn with me to John Chapter 13. Now, beginning really, actually, part of the 12th chapter of John. And you come into the 13th. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when the Jews knew that his hour was come, Jesus knew, depart out of this world. The 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, this great prayer, was in that last and final meal. The covenant meal that changed heaven and earth forever. Right there. And this 13th chapter is so strong. Now, I want you to notice something here. Verse 23. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. John was the one. He was there when Jesus spoke to that fig tree. He didn't say anything. Peter did the talking. John listened. So he, and all through his book, he calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. His words were so vital and so important. Hanging on the cross, Jesus said, "Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." He turned his mother over to her. John outlived all the rest of the disciples. Now you know why the Apostle Paul wrote to Peter, wrote to Timothy, and said, "Don't let anyone despise your youth." Well, now, wait a minute. How would you like to pastor the church with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Apostle John in your congregation? And you're just a young boy. That'd make anybody stutter. You'd make you think, what in the world am I doing here? Dear, look who's sitting here with me. He was called to be their pastor. He's the only one of the apostles they couldn't kill. They tried. One of their special treatments was to fasten a grappling hook to a Christian, drop them down in a pot of boiling oil, and just pull up the skeleton. They did that to him and it didn't kill him. The apostle of love. The one that said all the time, "I'm the one that Jesus loved." And I'll show you how that works out here. Words. So they saw they couldn't kill him, so they threw him away to a horrible place called Patmos. And he just wrote the book of Revelation. Now look at the difference. Between John and Peter. Now the first thing Jesus had to do was get Judas out of that room. Verse 27. Let's back up to 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. He came up to John that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. Who's going to betray him? He didn't ask Jesus. He asked John. Ask him. Ask him. Can't you just see John? Ask him. He said, no, you ask him. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "What thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke this to him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Now, it's in the middle of the night, folks. You have to have a giving reputation that's beyond imagination in the middle of the night, in the middle of a serious meal like this, to turn and to ask somebody to go give something to the poor. I mean, 99 out of 100 think he got up to go to the restroom. Not give something to the poor. He got Judas out of the room. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That is not a suggestion. That is a commandment. That is our commandment. We are supposed to keep that and walk in it. Malachi 3:13, the word says, your words have been stout against me. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have believed and we have spoken. Hebrews 3:1, apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews 4:14 and Joel 3:10, hold fast our confession. 1 Peter 3:10, love life and see good days. He that would love life and see good days, that there be no guile found in his mouth, or no deceit. Revelation 12:11. Behold, the blood of the Lamb. We have overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the confessions of our words. Words. Would you stand with me, please? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power vested in me as a prophet of God and a minister of the gospel, I pronounce the blessing of the Lord on this congregation. I declare you blessed. Do you receive it? I declare you blessed beyond measure. I declare you healed. I declare you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I declare you prosperous. I declare this church prosperous beyond its dreams, and that all of the professed words that have been spoken over this place will come to pass and come to pass soon. And 2022 will be a year of great prosperity and great functioning of the awakening of this nation. Praise God. The awakening, the outpouring of the Lord Almighty God. Hallelujah. The evangelist, Mario Murillo. I mean, the power of God just started working through him, and just signs and wonders. And any of you watch Flashpoint? Then you know of whom I speak. And you know he's got a tent set up in New York. And they interviewed the pastor, and he said, I saw Mario Murillo on Flashpoint, and I said, I've got a tent in my warehouse. Now, he's pastor of a church, and he said, well, I just set the tent up out here and called Mario to come. And before he could get there, there's so many people out in the tent praying for the meeting, they just about had the tent full. Mario, not even there yet. We're in the midst of an outpouring in this nation. Don't be impressed by the mess it's in right now. No. What you're seeing and all this mess that's going on right now. No, no. What you're seeing are the birth pangs to the rebirth of this nation. It's coming. It's here right now. It is here right now. Glory to God. And I just prayed and sought God for so many years. My microphone wasn't big enough to get very far. And I kept thinking, oh, how can we do this? And I told Gloria, I said, the Lord said, I'm coming so soon. I want this uncompromised word of faith on every available voice. Well, what does non-compromise mean? Well, what about the Hebrew children in the book of Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar set up that big thing, 90 feet tall, made out of gold. All list a whole bunch of instruments there. And if you don't fall down and worship, you get thrown in the fiery furnace. People say, well, these are just myths. No, they're not. No, they are not. And I'm paraphrasing. When they were questioned, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, King, whether our God will deliver us or not, we're not going to bow. We won't compromise. We're not going to bow. And my father in the faith, Oral Roberts, preached a sermon. Oh, you've heard it, the fourth man. But he said this to me. We became very, very close friends until he went to heaven. I mean, he really and truly, particularly after my father went to heaven, he was just very, very close to me. And he had looked me right in the face. He said, Kenneth, whatever you compromise to keep, you will sometime or other lose. You will eventually lose. Whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose it. And he preached this. If you bow, you burn. If you don't bow, you can't burn.
Hallelujah.
Don't compromise. And God, I mean way back there, the Lord said to my heart, I want this uncompromised message of faith on every available voice. Well, there wasn't anything available about there but radio, and we didn't even think about going on TV. So we wound up the largest Christian broadcaster in North America. We were on 700 stations at one time. And then came TV. How are we going to do this? But it just kept growing. And I said to Gloria, because I learned about total immersion, I love languages. I particularly love the Spanish language. I always wanted to speak it, but I found out that during World War II. See, I went all the way through World War II. I remember it very well. And they had a language school in Monterey, California. And if you came in there as a student in that school, they needed translators that they could trust. In every language, German, Spanish, Greek, Japanese, Chinese. And they would not, once you checked in, you could not speak. In my case, it would have been English. You couldn't speak English. Not at all. Nope. And in 6 weeks, you were conversationally fluent. And within a year, you were an interpreter. Total immersion. And I thought, total immersion in the Word. That's what I want. And I was after this. And I was after it. And I first heard those tapes, Kenneth Hagin, and I thought, this is it. I'm going to get in. I have to get this. I have to have it. So I got the tapes, and I set a little place out in our little garage there in Tulsa. And I tell Gloria, on the weekends, I had a little tape player, and we played it in the bed at night, and the thing would be flapping, you know, and I'd wake up and turn it over. And the cassettes hadn't even been invented yet, you know. And so I'd take that little Martel player and sit it in the bathroom, and I'd shave. And then I'd go to school, and Gloria kept the tape player there at home, and she listened to tapes. My faith started getting so strong. I was there in school. Now, we'd be gone for a week, and I'd come back to study hall, and ORU is one of the first universities in the United States that had all of the lectures recorded on tape. And I could go back and catch up in the study hall, put the headset on, and listen to the lectures and so forth. I had professors coming in there and say, Brother Copeland, excuse me for interrupting you, but could I get you to pray for me? They'd been in the ministry longer than I was old. I wasn't but 30. But my faith was working. I didn't feel any different, but I'd pray and something happened. And the power of God was moving. I was totally immersed in faith. We still do it today. But I kept on and kept on. We kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And it turned into the Victory Channel. 24 hours a day, faith. Total immersion, faith produced that. Because when we went on direct, we didn't have the money to do it. But we told them we would. Now, I had it in my heart. It wasn't just a knee-jerk thing. I knew it by this time. And I said, yeah, we're going to go on there. And you know, years ago, the Lord said to me, Kenneth, don't seek ways to get the money in. Get the word out and the money will come. Well, that's the way we'd always operated. And Jesse Duplantis just stayed all over me. And he said, I'm kind of paraphrasing this a little bit, but he got in my face over it. He said, do you realize you are a network and not just a broadcaster? Okay. He said, you need to have a victory-thon. Well, I didn't know whether I wanted to do that or not. And so I said, well, I'll pray about this. And the Lord, and I started, said, Lord, well, he said, well, what? He said, absolutely. He said, I told you years before when you came to me and you didn't want to receive offerings that you and Gloria could just agree. I told you no, because your partners need to have a part of what you're doing, and you need to get on there on television and let them know what's going on so that they can have faith for it. Amen. So I just turned loose of it and let everybody else do it. And sure enough, that first one went on direct. We were already on Dish. And it just went like that. Faith. Fill words. Dominate the laws of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Come on, give the Lord praise for it. I declare the blessing of the Lord. Ye talo lo corantino mostagrastende cretis. El volgvolostino ro. Let's just praise the Lord here for a few minutes. Modicalere che de le brahmahana galanda. El crotestisci glostos esclandos. Lestos, 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 que el paraferke.
L'angronomo crotestis, solo crote, titolo crotino. La brada staxcede. La brada elestascotos. La brada elestes dosicrotos elasico.
Right now, this ministry of this church and its outreaches and all of the effect that it's having, not only in this area, but around the world. Because you don't realize, saith the Lord, how many people have come here and have learned what I wanted them to learn, and they have gone out and they have begun to teach others, and others have begun to teach others, and others have begun to teach others, and others have become to teach others. But right now, the full effect that I have planned for this place, saith the Lord God of grace, is only in that stage. It has budded out, and you can tell from the bud and from the color what kind of flower it is. But very soon and very soon, it'll look like that. Just completely budded out with its beautiful little petals just looking for the face of God. And then it will soon come to a place where it looks like that. The glory of the Son himself shining on and through the faces of the members of this congregation. For your prayers, unknowingly to most of you, have changed the hearts and lives of people. Your prayers have changed the hearts and lives of churches. Your prayers have changed the hearts and lives of people and whole areas of people, because there are people all over the world that have been influenced by this place. And the power that I promised at the beginning is just now ready to flower and come to full force. For these are the days of my grace, saith the Lord. So don't look down, look up, and understand that I am the soon coming King. You have known me as your Savior. You have known me as your baptizer in the Spirit. You have known me as your healer. You have known me as your miracle worker. You have known me as all of these wonderful things. But you shall very soon know me as the great resurrection. For the day and the hour is here. It has come. It is upon us all. So tell people about it. Don't run the risk of coming to heaven and finding out that there's someone you should have told that I was coming and did not. But I am also the God that forgives and renews and strengthens. For thus saith the Lord, in the beginning, God. In the middle, God. In the end, God. Have faith in God. What about my children? Have faith in God. What about my body? Have faith in God. What about my money? Have faith in God. What about my church? Have faith in God. What about the country? Have faith in God. What about politics? Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. What about this pandemic? Have faith in God. I overcame pandemics, epidemics 2,000 years ago because I bore your sins in my own body on the tree, that you being dead to sin should live. That you being dead to sin should live. That you being dead to sin should live under righteousness. And by my stripes, you were healed. If you were healed, you are healed now. You are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed and the devil trying to take your health away from you. Don't let him have it. Stay in the Word. Stay with the Word. The Word will stay in you and stay with you. But if you lay the Word aside and you begin to drift and your faith begins to become weak and the joy is no longer there, but stir yourself up. Stir up the gift that is within you. Stir it up by faith. For that gift of the new birth is in there. The gift of the Spirit of God is in there. The gift of the Holy Ghost is in there. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's in there. He's on you and in you forever. Glory to God. Stir him up. Stir him up. Stir him up with joy. Ha, 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 ha. Stir him up. Stir him up with laughter. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Stir him up. Hallelujah. And realize, saith God, the best is yet to come. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord. Good night, everybody.